Good morning. It's 8:11 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our Ask the Expert segment with Scott Schultz from Morningstar Care Homes. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
Hey, James. Doing great. Always great to be with you.
Hey, awesome. And no, it's a little bit of a gloomier morning here. We kind of got that cold front moving on in, so gonna be getting a little bit colder, but hey, that's all right. We understand, you know, it's Kansas. This is how it goes. So, hey, I know that you know, it's been just a little bit since we had the chance to talk with you here, and I know folks always enjoy hearing the updates and all the good stuff you guys are doing at Morningstar. And I know we've had an opportunity to have some pretty in-depth discussions over the past few weeks, and I understand you've got another cutting-edge topic that you'd like to share with our listeners here today.
I would, James. I'd love to share some information about a senior housing study that came out recently and talk about a couple of research announcements from two nonprofit organizations that are working together. One is the National Investment Center, NIC, for Senior Housing and Care out of Annapolis, Maryland, and then NORC is an independent social research organization at the University of Chicago. And the findings they had were really great. The first one was they found that after an older person moves into senior housing, meaning assisted living or memory care type places, residents are 10% less frail, less vulnerable to falls, less vulnerable to illness or impaired mobility. The second finding was that the older adults live longer in assisted living than their counterparts living in their own homes in the community. So this is an ongoing project with more findings to be released in the future.
Well, I mean, that sounds like some really great research, and seems like those are some important findings.
I think it's really huge, James. To kind of put a light on it, I'd like to start with why we got into this business at Morningstar. My wife and I each had a grandmother that spent their final days in a skilled nursing facility, which is a different kind of senior housing than we operate. In fact, it's more institutional. And so what we saw was they just had a lack of dignity in how they were treated, and a lack of real attentive care in those facilities. And when folks were being admitted into nursing facilities in 2011, when we got into the business, the average lifespan for those people was about 8 months. And I just felt like, or we felt like, we could do it better, and we believed that we'd see results similar to these studies if we gave people the care and really treated them the way they should be treated. We wanted to make a place that would enhance lives, not be just a place to go to die. And we realized you almost can't do that in a nursing facility setting because the regulations cause the nurses to spend a large amount of their time just documenting why they meet the regulations, and less time actually caring for residents. There have been major threats to try to change that culture in the nursing facilities. You know, resident-centered care came about after assisted livings came into being in the 90s and really showed a change in the way people could be cared for. And that, you know, isn't what the nursing facilities have, which is an institutional focus, kind of a one-size-fits-all mindset. And the second thing of late is that Congress, the U.S. Congress, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are pressing for a staffing mandate in nursing facilities, meaning they're going to dictate to the nursing facilities how many hours of care they need to provide. And, of course, that wouldn't be coming about if enough care was being provided. So, you know, a couple of things that I've read about or experienced over the last 13 years really stick in my mind, James. One is I read about, or I experienced in Kansas, some 17 nursing facilities were bought by an outfit from New Jersey, and they basically drove them into bankruptcy and landed in receivership, and then the owner landed in Pruva. One of those was located just within blocks of one of the Morningstar buildings in southeast Kansas. Another story that has always sort of flummoxed me is reading about an owner-operator of a chain of facilities that was so profitable they invested in a hockey team. And there's nothing wrong with capitalism. But if you're going to receive government funding for your services, then choose to drive expensive luxury sports cars or unprofessional sports teams, you're not really presenting an image that leads the general population to perceive you as a caring organization and that you're in this business for the right reasons. So to begin this venture in 2011, my wife and I bought a single-family home in a residential neighborhood in the town we live in Baldwin City, and we converted it into a, what's called a Home Plus home, which under the Kansas scheme operates under the assisted living regulations. You don't rezone the property as multifamily, and it's now limited to having 12 residents. It was only allowed to have 8 residents when we first started. And so it's not subject to a lot of the assisted living construction regulations. The idea is to make it possible in small towns to have high-quality care in a small building. So we hired a staff in early June of 2011, and we moved in our first resident, Helen, on June 24. And I bring her up, James, because her story still amazes me. Her daughter-in-law came in for a tour, and she just stood in this beautiful single-family house in the dining room, just having tears, because she said, you know, this is a home, and my mother-in-law won't just be a number on a door. And so the nurse went out to assess her in a nursing facility, and her glasses were askew, and she was sitting alone in her room, not walking. And when she came in and we removed her dentures, we had to knock off a lot of stuff that just wasn't being taken care of there. And those are just sort of the tip of the iceberg things that we saw. But, you know, what we did was get her on a personal care plan, just like you would for a family member at home. Physical therapy and occupational therapy took her from being headed for being bedbound to actually walking around the home. And a personal activity plan engaged her, and we learned that she used to sew for the state at Osawatomie at the facility there, so we helped her make a quilt at age 93.
Oh, my goodness. Great to be able to, you know, I think it's a wonderful reminder that, you know, humans are meant to do things, even, you know, and it's amazing to be able to do something like that, you know, at age 93. So, you know, I always feel like, you know, we're supposed to be able to continue to be productive and do things. And it sounds like you kind of found her niche there.
We really did. And that just reminds me of the next two guys that came in. One of them enjoyed working in his shop at home, so we would take his walker and kind of set it on the table and have him oil the wheels and do maintenance type stuff. And another fella, we would have homemade pies made in the home, and he would peel the apples and get involved in the kitchen a little bit. So all these things were just miraculous. You know, what's so affirming about the study, James, is that we really did create Morningstar as a place to live, not a place to die. And so if you just think about names of places, and these aren't specific places, these could be anywhere in the nation, but something with the words autumn or winter, names that refer to your to heritage or legend or memorial, retirement, silver, golden, and particularly sunset. They're well-meaning, but if I was a resident or a family member, it would just remind me constantly that the person's nearing the end, that their best life is past. So even the name and the logo, we show bright orange and yellow streams of light coming through glass windows, and the morning star signifies the sun, the start of a bright day. And so I feel like I've been on a 13-year mission of just educating people that it doesn't have to be done the old way, that we can seize the day and make life happen. So as we've continued to see these miracles through better nutrition, experiencing better mobility, the friendship and relationship aspects, and giving people routines, like you say, giving them something they can count on to look forward to in their day, we immediately just began to see that it even seems to affect longevity. I mean, we're not scientists, but it just seems like they live longer. And we often remark just how good care and fostering emotional well-being really does lead to a better quality of life. Well, that's what we're trying to foster.
That is great. We're talking with Scott Schultz of Morningstar Care Homes with locations in Neodesha and Fredonia. And Scott, you know, you're talking about the studies and everything and all the research that's being done. Can you share with us some of the specific findings of these studies?
Yeah. Excuse me, sure. They looked at residents who lived for 2 years in a place like assisted living, and they compared to people who lived in their own homes in the community. And they found on average there was a lower mortality rate in the assisted living residents. The assisted living residents got 10 more days of home health services than the older adults who live in the community. 4 more days of preventative and rehabilitative services in assisted living, and less use of antipsychotics. And I think that comes from more caring and more socialization in staff. And, you know, what really leads to the use of antipsychotics in the elderly, if they're not experiencing a chronic historic illness, is this simple needs not being met. That just causes emotional distress. So a quote from the study from the CEO and president of NIC concluded, senior housing and care communities support older adults by keeping them healthy in our homes. And so these homes become their homes. They aren't just institutions or facilities at all. But, you know, I think what was even more amazing, James, was when they got into comparing the various players in the industry, one to another, one assisted living versus another, for example. It's not just moving your mom or your dad into any old assisted living that matters. And for those operators that build those, it isn't just a matter of building a building and seeing results. Some places are just better than others at implementing principles that lead to emotional stability and wellness. So the study found that residents living in the top 25% of senior housing communities actually lived 70 days longer on average than those in the bottom 25%. And if they lived in the top 25%, they also received 40 more days of home health than their peers in the bottom 25%. So at Morningstar, we certainly understood this from the start. We've always brought the doctors, the nurse practitioners. We've added mental health practitioners to the list, home health nurses. These are people we bring into our home. We don't send the residents out for these services. Physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, hospice providers bring a lot of benefits, music therapy, spiritual care, and more. And I kind of think, James, it's why Morningstar was given the Governor's Award of Excellence previously. And we're the only long-term care facility in Kansas to have had that honor in the 25-year existence of the award. It's the highest recognition from the state of Kansas one can receive. Just a couple more quotes from the study. Lisa McCracken, who heads up NIC's research and analytics said, understanding those best practices of that top 25% will ultimately lead to improved overall health and well-being of all residents who call these settings home. And another quote from Diane Munivar, their VP of Healthcare Strategy at NORC at University of Chicago, that as the proportion of America's adults increases, in other words, in our aging society, there's a growing demand for comprehensive health and wellness support within senior housing. So things are changing. When we acquired the homes in Neodesha and Fredonia that we operate now in Southeast Kansas, previously, the companies were discharging residents with any kind of difficulties to nursing facilities, kind of viewing those residents as needing a higher level of care. And I really tried to turn that on its ear in 2017 when we came into the picture and instituted a change from what I would call the social model of assisted living that really dominated the industry for 20 years, say from 1990 to 2010. To a model that really serves a market demographic that we had success with in our smaller homes in Baldwin City and Ottawa, which is a full, holistic model of care that not only provides psychosocial comfort to the residents, but is really tailored to their care, tailors their care to the specific physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental needs that the residents have. So we don't really compete with other assisted living facilities because our level of service is more intense. We have higher ratios of caregivers to residents. You know, if a business consultant talks to me, they always comment on the percentage of labor to the total revenue being high. But, you know, we're competing with nursing facilities who are having residents pass after 8 months after admission. So we provide more and better care, plain and simple. We may not own a hockey team, but we've got satisfaction, and that motivates us.
Well, Scott, I would think with that higher level of care that this would mean that, you know, being a resident of Morningstar would be more expensive. Is that necessarily the case?
Well, for those with funds, for our traditional assisted living and our memory care services, we're very cost competitive with nursing facilities. But I also wanted to touch on what the state is doing for those who don't have resources or who have low levels of income. The Kansas legislature has shown a continual understanding of the issues I've been talking about. If you just look at the bill that they've sent the governor to sign this session for next year's budget, in the past 2 years, Medicaid residents in Kansas, those who truly have no savings or assets pay for our care, have received 10% increases in the benefits they're granted by the state under the Home and Community-Based Services Program. But next year, that increase is going to be 35% in their benefits. That's just a dramatic increase. So being Morningstar, being one of the only assisted living providers that accepts all comers right at the start, those with funds and those without, we're now positioned to help more people get top-notch service, even though maybe their Social Security is $1,000 a month, James, and they don't have anything in savings. You know, we're going to be able to serve. So I'm really excited about these developments, and I think it shows the legislature understands that the old models of senior housing and care need improvement, and we're moving in that direction.
Well, I'd definitely be interested to follow along with some of that legislation, and we'll get some updates here from some of our area senators and House reps. But that is really interesting statistics. I appreciate you sharing that this morning with us, Scott. And if someone listening out there is interested in learning a little bit more about Morningstar and what makes you guys different, what is the best way to maybe get a hold of you or just go online and check out more, maybe even stop by in person?
You bet. We always welcome someone just to walk in without an appointment. We've got a Facebook page, and it has a lot of really great photos of what goes on in the facilities. And I think if you just searched in your search engine, Morningstar Care Homes, Kansas, discussed something with one of the managers in Fredonia. It's 620-378-2329. And then Yoda Shea, 620-325-2244. And you can find those phone numbers by Googling Morningstar and Yoda Shea or Morningstar Fredonia as well. So we'd love to hear from people and love to just have these conversations.
Excellent. Well, Scott, really appreciate you coming on by here this morning. And I think we got you on the schedule here for next week because we kind of shifting things around. But if that doesn't work, you let me know. We'll make it happen. But anyway, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. And I look forward to chatting again here real soon.
Thanks, James. Always fun to be with you. Appreciate
it. Absolutely. You have a great one. That is Scott Schultz. Owner and president here of Morningstar Care Homes in Neodesha and Fredonia. And that's our Ask the Expert segment. Coming up, we will have our update from Coffeyville's Reawakening here in moments on KGGF.